Yeah, we already care.
Good business. That is one of the funniest times I had at the Claremont Lounge.
Where's that at?
LA? That's in Atlanta, but it's not a black strip club. It's not a white strip club. It's just like a weird strip club. They have like little people and old ladies and
like a circus.
Yeah, it's like a circus strip club. You just go to drink DEI and laugh.
Strip club. Just anybody, titty
ladies. You be like, hey, turn up. Let me take a shot off the other side.
Total Recall.
Now, what is this called again?
Claremont Lounge.
Claremont Lounge.
Atlanta. It's not like a fun, there. Like goofy strip That's club. The, you don't get
do's
like sexy.
And do nots. I'm not. Do not go there. That does not sound.
I can't take you to that strip club.
Introduce your guest. Craig.
This is his first time here.
It is your first time, huh?
Yeah.
My little brother on the show, Greg Wayne.
Do we got to even introduce them? They look like twins.
It's weird. I was twins. Craig all by myself. They look like twins. His daddy's name's Greg, so my mom named him after his dad.
Craig, Greg, same face.
Actually, my dad wanted a junior. But I feel like my mom should have overruled him. Like, first baby daddy was, come on. No.
Plus, I was out the house already damn near when he was coming up.
Well, it's a monumental moment. If G's first time
He's
on the
go
show.
Go through my drawers and find naked pictures of girls back when there was pictures.
Oh, yeah.
I found basketball cards.
Basketball cards? Naked athletes?
Yeah.
Wait, what?
What?
No.
Yeah.
What happened? No,
y'all remember it? Well, I know mom had to talk with me and like, yeah, you got to get these pictures out of here because your brothers be going through the drawers and they found us.
Well, we started, replaced
you, everything you real quick.
Yeah, you so out, man.
The entrance.
What's happening? What's up, bro?
How you doing?
How you been?
You left me, though, dog. Who left you?
You did.
What you mean?
As a fellow Lions fan, you bailed out.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You should have left a long time.
Oh, no, I'm going to leave in a second.
He said he's leaving early.
Yeah, he's leaving early.
Things. I wanted to drop my brother off. You know.
He wanted to walk him in like a field trip.
First day of school.
Like a field trip, first day of school. I had to make sure he okay.
He went a little viral recently. They were calling him sexy.
Look at his face, man.
Bro, that was so ridiculous, honestly.
Wait, what'd you go viral for?
NAACP Awards.
Sitting at the NAACP
Image Awards.
Yeah, I was like, all these little, the little blog sites, people kept hitting me. And I'm like, I was laughing, but it went on for a while.
A lot of people don't know G's been on shit.
G's like, the most frustrating part.
What's some of the shit you did, G?
I've done a bunch of shit. I'm like Johnny Drama from Entourage. It's like I've done everything, but it's not.
In another family, he'd be like the famous one in the family.
I know for sure.
Your commercials run a lot, though. Yeah, the commercials run hella much.
Wait, he had a show.
I mostly book commercials.
That Vikings one runs hella much.
Yeah. That paid the best, too.
No, well, I can see why. It's on all the time.
Look, it's the bread and butter.
Let me talk about my little proud things that I have about my brother.
Why did you have to get second voice?
I wanted to go into the first show I remember he did was Zane's Chronicles.
Oh, my God.
You was naked?
No.
You show your ass in there?
No. I'm not even familiar with that show.
You don't remember that? Like the Skinamax.
Yeah.
But it was the black version.
Yeah,
it was porn, but they kept the clothes on.
Yeah. I laughed so
and
much.
And they be riding like up here. Oh, yeah. Like, ain't nobody penis on their navel. What is that?
Their shoes be on.
I do.
They got the girl.
Yeah.
Bro.
I was trying to avoid that.
He ain't going to get that. Eamon Joseph. That was where I met him.
Who?
Eamon from Snowfall. Uncle.
Oh, okay.
Bro, that's where I met him. When I booked that show,
the dude was like, "Learn how to squabble,
him, bro." Yeah, Uncle Jerome. When he got Snowfall, I was so happy for him.
Teach your man how to squabble.
It was funny trying to brag and be like, "Yo, y'all gotta watch my brother's show."
Dude, what you looking at?
Cinemax. Skinemax. But then I watched it, and he was the only one on the show that didn't get pussy. Oh, I was like, even then, I had to tease him. You don't even
OG was just there for acting. Like, I'm here to show you. Show my chops.
I literally wrote this. I'm writing a pilot right now, and it's in the show because I thought when I told my family, they were going to be like, only thinking of it as like, oh, you booked a series regular. Nick, I told them. My Uncle Sean let out the biggest laugh, and they just started clowning me. He's like, this nigga G doing soft porn. I was so embarrassed. I'm like, bro, I'm not naked. Like, I got 7 episodes in this shit.
Is it on your IMBD?
Yeah, that's on there.
Oh, that's all that matters.
Oh, you did 7 episodes?
Yeah.
Didn't get naked once?
Not once. All right. I kissed a girl.
He actually had a storyline.
Yeah, a storyline and stuff?
I did.
It wasn't like I'm here to deliver the pizzas. Active.
Look, and I got to, that was the first time like a job flew me somewhere. I got to go to Miami.
Oh, they flew you out?
Yeah.
It was great.
And that's when you got like naked. A case. That sounds like
I did. I did get naked out there. Just not in Miami.
And then you had the Bounce show.
Yeah, with Bentley Evans. But that was before Bounce. That was before you can actually get on your TV and go to like I you had to like buy a special antenna to watch it. It was a
you had
crazy
to show up at the studio
which
while
show?
They taped.
Wait, what show did you do
it
on
was
no
My
Bounce?
Crazy Roommate. That's what it was called.
That was before I got there.
Oh, bro.
Yeah, we only got the one with Layla Odom.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Shout out to Layla. She's doing good right now. I've seen her in something pop up.
Wasn't she in that Zane's Chronicles?
I don't know. She wasn't in mine.
I know she did phenomenal in Salt and Pepper. She was dope on there, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I never saw that. Keep going back to the Zane. She did Salt and Pepper. She did that.
I thought I seen her naked on some show.
No. I mean,
crazy right. Minutes, man.
Possibly.
I always thought she was Lamar Odom's sister. That's why I was like, oh shit, Lamar Odom's sister out here naked.
Are they related?
Somebody started that rumor. Or
that makes sense.
That's always what happens with the names. Yeah.
They're not related though, right?
I don't think so.
I
the dude
know.
From Arizona is
she
in our
never
family.
Brought him up.
Yeah.
Wayans. There's a Wayans in the league.
Oh, okay. He's a Wayans.
No, I don't know.
Probably.
How?
Probably.
There's a whole bunch of people in the Philippines named Wayans, not us.
You guys got a little Filipino. The eyes. Look, they got little Filipino eyes.
Yeah, there's some Asian now.
They black.
There's some Asian.
Yeah, because I know my last name. If somebody got them, like, it was somewhere. Somebody is related.
I
got
to do my own, like, ancestry, though. I just watched my Uncle Kenan's when he did that, the PBS special. And I was like, that's him. I need to do my own. But it did say, like, Southeast Asia, like, we're like part of 3% of like the slaves that got taken here. Only 3% came.
I
from
had
South 3%.
It got erased. I just became full nigga again. I don't know. I was there a couple years ago.
Along down the line, you got watered down with all nigga. Huh?
They re-upped my contract. Was like, nah, he just Negro.
Y'all gonna tell me what this is about?
What's
this about?
Speaking of this, show them what this is about.
Every time you see money in a jar.
Show them what the late jar is about.
Yeah.
Oh.
Every time you late, it's $10.
I didn't mean to call you out.
Yeah.
I didn't know you didn't do it on purpose.
Yeah. We didn't forget.
Black guys,
we didn't forget.
We was
already talking
it.
About ordering food because we're hungry.
We're going
so
to
we
get
was like,
to
oh,
that.
We can use that.
$20.
$20.
I see some fives and some tens.
Inflation.
In there. Oh, that's I actually, all 10. I see a 20.
It's a tariff, nigga.
$20.
We went up.
Yeah. No, we don't really care.
Why were you late? What happened?
Why?
Here, come sit down and tell us why you late, Chaz.
Oh, yeah, you need a microphone.
You need a mic for this excuse.
Microphone checker.
Got to hand some stuff. Things and things and sorts.
Are we good sitting where we're at, or do we need to?
Coon talk.
Coon talk.
Is we good?
Coon talk. You know what it is.
Yeah, we don't really care. I can't get that song in my head.
Why were you late?
Why? That dude is blown up.
Did you see he did an interview some time ago. He was like,
I was just being ignorant. He's like, I thought I knew she was gay and I was wrong.
So he gets like, that thing blew up so much. He like, everybody throws him in and like, he gets paid to like birthday shout outs. He gets paid to be in people's sketches like all over the place. And he's so I saw him, some lesbian couple hired him and he goes and he's like, happy birthday. Why are you gay?
Like, oh, wow.
And they loved it. Like, you know what I mean? That's what he gets paid. He gets paid to go and ask people why they gay or do that.
That's how his Mother's Day thing goes.
Yeah.
Happy Mother's Day. Why are you gay?
And he was like, do you perform the obligations? Like, he did the whole thing, and that's what people
he did. He played it straight
yes,
just like
you are.
That?
Yeah, I mean, he laughs gay. After, and he's like, happy birthday. You know what I mean?
Oh,
but
yeah.
They pay him to be that guy.
That's great.
I got to see this guy. I don't know who you
are. Oh, it's the funniest interview you'll ever see in your life.
So random, too.
So he
bro.
Wasn't, when he did that original interview,
he
was
dead serious.
Oh, he was dead. I figured he was serious. Why
was,
are you gay? Okay.
Yes, you are.
So
gay.
It's he has a... Was she trans?
Yeah, I don't think she was any of that. He was just wrong.
I don't know. So she comes on the thing and he's like, we have Mr. Shall I call you Mr.? Mr. Pepe Le Pew. And he's being super polite. He's like, thank you for coming. Why are you gay? That's how he started the interview.
Wow. Oh, no, what? I think I saw that.
And, she, and he's like, who says I'm gay? You are gay.
He's like, no, I'm not.
And he just kept digging. And then, halfway, towards the end of the interview, he's still confused. So he goes, so who is gay? Like, somebody going to be gay in this bitch.
And he's being dead serious.
He's dead serious.
He just wants answers.
The shit is funny as fuck.
That's funny. It's something funny just about a strong African accent.
Saying, delivering that.
I always laugh at that. That and... I don't know why, but when white people say nigger, with the hard R, it just makes me laugh. I didn't grow up in slave time, so when I hear it, it's like,
Greg, you're supposed to be mad right now. I know. Hold on. I'm all right with you guys, but
I'm not going to lie, I kind of laugh.
The hard R is funny. There's so much hate behind it. It just
hate, and they're just so, especially if it's a white woman, she's like, no! Nah! She's just so mad. It's like,
I think it's the emotion behind it. It's not the word.
And you're saying it like you're gonna ruin my day.
I'll laugh after, but I have to act mad while I'm there. You fucking bitch. I'm gonna say something back. Fuck you.
I'm petty.
You have to say
laughing
something
at people
back,
makes them mad.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm petty. Me laughing. Point, I
if
know
you pointed and laughed.
More.
Oh, she'd be pissed.
But you're really gonna be mad though.
But if you
point and laugh,
if you get
mad,
you're still gonna
get
mad on Instagram. Be like, she's calling.
No, because she's an idiot. She's beneath me.
Here's why you can't get mad.
I don't know if I have that always.
This is why you have to laugh it off.
That's that bay in you.
You gotta laugh it off because this is the only thing they have.
Right.
This is all that. This is their last ditch effort.
So
to have anything.
If that's gone, then what? Now they just got to.
So
now
you're there. Nigga. You're like, all right,
and they're like, damn it.
That's the Martin Luther King route.
It's not even that, bro.
The Malcolm is, you don't say something back.
Look, they have a gun in their hand, right? They have a gun.
Right.
And they're pointing right at you, dead and blank. They're like, oh, I got you. And it's like.
Yeah, you take away somebody's one thing they had.
Yeah.
I
want to get some get back. Y'all don't want to get no get back?
Try it next time.
It's psychological warfare.
It's going to happen at some point again.
But you got to remember, I got called a nigger by two kids. It was a Mexican kid and a white kid at Costco in the parking lot. in the parking lot.
It's a different game.
Okay,
continue.
For what?
No, continue.
It's funny.
For nothing. I was just there.
kids are different. Yeah. Kids are stupid.
They were 15, 16.
Kids are dumb. You should whoop their ass. They deserve their ass because they got to learn early.
No,
The kids, you gotta whoop their ass.
Wait, so whoop a kid's ass, but let the woman get the pass?
Absolutely.
Well, you shouldn't whoop the woman's ass.
No, I'm just saying.
DC?
I'm
What's
saying. I
didn't
say whoop her ass. I said say something back.
No,
it's not
man,
just gonna
laugh.
Be chuckles.
You just gotta laugh.
I know. I didn't say just a chuckle. I'm pointing at you. You're a loser.
Y'all saying like y'all gonna be like, that was funny.
But
DC, let her go away.
I'm laughing at you.
All she has is being white. This is the pinnacle
You're a
of
loser.
Her existence is being a white woman. This is the only thing she ever has over you.
Right.
Is being a white woman. Uh-huh. She just lost it right now. Yeah. You're a nigger. And you're like, all right. Have a good one.
Yeah.
Don't force it.
That's
if it,
it
doesn't just organically make you laugh, then you know, react however you would react.
It'll organically make me cock a loogie. That was funny.
Oh wow. Man, I'm laughing. She's
got a lot of trauma.
That could be assault. That could be assault right there now. You can't spit on somebody.
Who's
That's
there,
illegal.
Who's there to see it?
Well, so you're
and
saying
you guys know what's wrong? Whoop her ass.
So what you're saying is, then when she said it, she hurt your feelings. She bothered you.
She look at his eyes.
Yeah.
They're glazed.
No, it's just the thought process of her saying that, thinking she could hurt me.
The audacity.
She did.
The audacity.
She
no,
wants
it's like
to
that.
Rise.
Like, oh, you tried to hurt me.
Of course.
Yeah. I don't like the attempt.
And she failed.
You gotta
let
failed
her fail
miserably.
Because if
that's
you react,
what I'm saying. That's why I'm
she
laughing.
Got you.
You guys are saying this now, but you're gonna do more than laugh.
No, because I honestly, people like that, I honestly feel this way. You're beneath me. I don't
absolutely.
You're
know what it is.
We're all equal until that.
And then I'm like, oh, you're a loser. Like, I don't
absolutely.
Like losers. I'm like, you're.
You peaked at white.
Yeah,
like niggas, you were born. It's the best
you
your life
home,
ever got.
Even in your whiteness, you go home like
that
a
was
loser.
Cool 5 years ago, but we're you living in mean? MAGA times.
I will give you this scenario. This is the last time I got called nigger. I was working.
The last time?
How many times did this happen? They just
it's
treating you like a sucker.
Jesus Christ. You got to stop laughing.
Yeah.
You got to change this shit.
Spit.
It was like 2017, but I was working front desk at a hotel, and I remember this lady, she was a lesbian. Mm-hmm. She was mad because she didn't have a credit card to put down for the incidentals. She was trying to use cash, And I'm just like, we just can't take cash. Like, what if the damage that you caused in the room is more than that? So yeah. She was getting so mad. She just, how does that lead for you to call me nigger? Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's funny to me.
Yeah.
Like, that's literally just doing my job.
So because you don't have a credit card, I'm
now
a nigger.
I'm a nigger. I didn't go out my way to inconvenience you. We don't allow that. So that shit's funny
Greg's,
to me.
Greg said, hey, I'm going on break.
You're like the nigger pinata. They just niggering you.
It's happened a few times, man.
It's happened to me a few times. Has it happened to y'all a few times?
No.
Clearly not, like not DC. Well, DC can't admit it because he killed like somebody.
I just told you when it happened at Costco.
It bothers him.
That was the one time ever?
Yeah, that was the first time in a long time.
Yeah.
It was a drive-by.
That hasn't happened in a long time.
I was about
to say,
it's happened online, but that don't count. Yeah. Like, no, people that hurl that shit.
Face-to-face, that was...
Face-to-face, never.
Really?
Oh, you've never?
Mm-mm. Not face-to-face.
Honestly, that was the first time face-to-face, like as an adult.
Yeah.
And that was, what, 8 years ago?
I've had a few times. How many times have you had it face-to-face?
So I'm going to take out high school football because
that's common.
Very common. And then...
But it was the coach.
No. But it was definitely... Man, we used to play these giant white kids from corn-fed white. It would happen often.
Their parents would do it?
Nah, I was never in the crib. I mean, I'm sure at the crib.
No, I'm talking about their parents at the games would call you?
No, just kids on the field. Oh. So that's why I'm like, I'm going to take that one out. But it was...
That's fair game, because you could say stuff back, right?
Not only could I say shit back, but it
you
was...
You could hit?
Oh, yeah. I was like, what you say?
Anything goes in the football
field. I got you. 72, I got you. The play is over there. I'm stomping.
Would you ever use your own racial... Do you ever respond with your own racial slur?
Nah, man. The white dudes is my homies. Oh, it wasn't man. Ever like that for me. I just, oh, you a bitch. You a bitch. That's where we go.
Okay. To the individual.
Yeah. Oh, you a bitch.
That's not a good comeback.
But then you got to do it while you're stomping on their ankle. You know what I'm saying? You got to do it while you're bringing
physical pain.
While
you're ending their season.
Yeah, it's over. It's over. Right. It's a you bitch.
Because they don't necessarily, white people don't necessarily have a slogan that hurts, their word that hurts them, right?
Their slurs don't, because, you know, back in the day they had Peckerwood, they had Honky, they had Cracker, they had.
Pecker's funny though.
Peckerwood's hilarious to me.
There's only one
that's
I thought
funny. It's just a funny.
You know what their
word.
Slur is when you call them racist. Yeah. that's what they can't handle.
That's the one now.
You're racist.
Oh, that was
they just burst into flames. You know, they start peeing. They can't handle it.
How does every person, every dude who's ever played football, at some point we find a way to talk about high school football again? That's just like a thing.
That's the trick, baby.
Everybody I know that's played football, it don't matter how old you get, it's like you will always find a way.
That's the best time.
It's definitely a football thing.
High school football.
Like you niggas, I'm talking about basketball all the time.
Not like
shut your asses up. Stop it.
He looks like he's still hoop.
DC's a definitely. Super fraud. He's more definitely of a fraud than Kia. Yeah. I don't want to hear this.
I bring it up not for glory days, for when people start talking too much. That's what I start. I'm like, first of all, you never played. Like, I gotta, because I'm like, I'm tired of you talking.
Yeah, you got
it. It gets
too many experts that never
played. Yeah, that never
the game.
Played, and you'd be like, "Shut your ass up!" Yeah. Like, you couldn't
that's,
even
that's
make
the fun, man.
You're calling somebody who's in the league a bum. You couldn't make your JV team.
You wouldn't
like,
be able to finish a suicide.
Up. Like
that's the fun of it, though.
It's like, yo,
me and my brothers
gosh.
Have gotten to argument because they were basketball players and I played football. You know when they came up with that debate about like which one's harder, which sport is harder? Uh-huh. I mean, to me, it's a no-brainer that football is a harder sport just because of, like, the equipment.
Physicality?
The physicality, all that. But,
I think they both lose. I think baseball is the hardest one.
Oh, for sure.
Like, here's trying to hit
that
a ball.
That was not a part of the conversation. We're talking.
Wait, trying to hit it. Trying to hit a ball, bro.
Wait, here's the thing, though.
I agree. I'm not disagreeing.
Woo! Hands down.
It's like this, though. Can a basketball player come on a football field and play 100%? Mm-hmm. They have all the attributes.
Yes.
Yeah. Can they do an entire season? No. That's where you lose me. It's playing a full season.
Iverson did a full season, right?
Iverson was a football player.
Right.
Right?
Who also hooped.
But he got in trouble and had to go hoop. That wasn't his first goal was to play. He wanted to play football.
Well, he played both simultaneously.
I think when you're an athlete, it doesn't matter.
If you're
an athlete, like a Mookie Betts. Mookie is good at everything.
And
he
there's
can
a
bowl,
lot of guys
he can basketball,
who are.
Baseball, football. He's just an athlete. So I think when you're an athlete, it doesn't matter. If you specify, then it gets tricky. Because I remember when the football players would come play with us, they were the worst athletes I'd ever seen as far as trying to play basketball. They were so stiff and rough, but I could go play football, but I'm an
and
athlete.
You can go
like,
play football and still look like you belong on the field.
Because we're just athletic.
Football players can't get on the, not
they're
all
too,
of them.
They're too...
The conversation has to be very specific.
Yeah.
Like, what are the very, were, did you play both sports up until high school?
Right.
Like
right.
senior year, and then in college you chose one?
Right.
Because if that's the case, then there are some basketball players I could see suiting up and not being terrible.
Yeah.
But even for football players that play, it's still an adjustment period when you go from like spring to like putting the pads mm-hmm. on and shit. There's an adjust, like you saw Draymond try to play at Michigan State. That was laughable.
But he wasn't a football player, though. Did he play high school?
That's what I'm saying. Play so the conversation has to be specific.
It's definitely
he looked like he never.
Because you got the Tony Gonzalez's and all them.
But
like,
the thing says, Julius Peppers. From high school to go and all of a sudden play on a football field, it's like, oh, these dudes are a lot faster and stronger all of a sudden.
It just depends. Because if you look at Travis Hunter, it looks like he belongs on a basketball court, too.
He's an athlete. Yeah, he's just an athlete. He probably could go play baseball, too, and bowl. And he's just an athlete.
Yes.
Some people are just athletes.
But if you say, people are like, Ant was like, I can go be a safety wide receiver, like until you got to take hits every game. Right. Until you got to, that's a different body type condition
football.
You got to
have. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah. But that's where I kind of, I'm not saying I disagree.
I didn't like it at first.
I didn't like
until
it.
Until you get especially. Good at it.
They were just so big and fast and strong, and I was just, and early. Like a lot of the guys I grew up with, they made it to the league. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I was just like, why are you running a 4.6? We're 12, nigga. Like, why are you like this? You know, so I was just like, hell no.
You're built for destruction, dog.
And I don't think people understand, like, the levels. Like, I was watching the game yesterday. I mean, I told you on the chat. What's his name? Steven Adams is a role player in the league. Mm-hmm. Coming out of high school, he was the number 6 player in the nation, the number 1 big man in the country.
When you said that, I couldn't believe. I was like, he was?
Because the level, and that's why I hate when people talk sports, so-and-so's a bum. Yeah, compared to the best in the fucking planet.
You saw Scalabrine giving people buckets?
Yeah.
Oh, he was giving work to.
What's his name? Austin Rivers was talking basketball on his podcast, or whatever. Mm. He was like, I'm one of the best players on the planet. And people were like, easy. And I was like, no, he is.
He is.
Only 400 people have put. He's one of the best players on the fucking planet.
Right.
Like, in the league, he was okay. But compared to 99.9% of people, he's amazing.
Yeah.
I think that statement is factual. It's factual. It's also dumb. Like, sure. If we're talking
it's factual.
If we're being literal, sure. When you say that, like, there's only 400. But in reality, compared to the league, you are a bum in the league.
But he's not talking to the bums. He's talking to you people in my comments. And to you people in my comments, I'm one of the best players on the planet.
Fans are fans, though. Yeah. Fans have the right to say certain things.
When I get on stage, sometimes I say, if there are people talking, I'll be like, hey, there's nobody in this audience better than me.
Right.
None of
that's
you guys.
That's factual.
That's a fact.
That's a fact.
If you are, get up here and prove
it.
Get up here and do it.
And not for 3 minutes.
Yeah.
For 25, 30, and watch you struggle.
None of you
and
guys
fail.
Are better than me.
Do my time.
You can't do what I can do. And that's why I hate when people disrespect professional. You can't do what they can do. You cannot.
That's
you can try your hardest and you'll never even come close.
People lose this idea. People get mad at how much athletes get paid. And I go, it's a 365, 24-hour job.
That they've been doing since they were kids.
That was like, this is what you've done. That you wake up, your meals are planning this. The time you wake up is planning this. Your whole schedule is dedicated to athletics, right? People go in their training room. People go hit the weights. People go, even when it breaks down to the way you eat all day is 100% dedicated to your craft. People could not be disciplined enough to do that.
No,
it is 24/7. I got to be asleep by a certain time to certain things. They see the parties and I'm like, y'all see the couple hours they spend outside of actually hooping.
They said Kobe did none of that.
None of that. Or if he did, he was still up though and went
back to work. Mm.
I don't think that's an idea.
I don't know.
I'm doing two.
They do make too much money, but it's
they bring in the money.
I only say that because you just brought up Kobe. There's two different types of professional athlete. There's like the Ben Simmons who clearly
he had the
intangibles and he showed that he has the potential to be a great player.
Not his fault.
He got his feelings hurt and he made the conscious decision to say, I'm not even trying anymore and watch me still get these triple digit millions.
Money.
That type of shit makes me feel like they make too much money because of the lack of effort.
But
Kobe,
even with Ben,
died out there.
Yeah. Some
right.
people do.
But no even Ben getting over, right?
Yeah,
the owners and whatever are making so much
more,
and they don't play a single fucking minute.
I rather give Angel Reese Ben Simmons money just for the effort that they bring.
That's fair.
Like Ben Simmons is the example where it's like they make too much.
Angel
money.
Reese probably would draw a bigger crowd than Ben Simmons right now.
Oh, absolutely.
He's on the Clippers. I had no idea he was on the Clippers.
I didn't either.
I was like Simmons for the rebound. Yeah. I said who?
Who's dude with the braids?
Yeah, I didn't know he was on the Clippers. That's what I'm saying. How do you? Yeah, he's definitely stealing money. People saying at some point someone said. Next LeBron.
He had all the gifts.
He had all the intangibles.
Everything.
Mentally, he missed that one layup where he didn't remember. It, he missed that one layup and he never recovered.
But if you watch his documentary that he had on Netflix, you see mentally he never had it. He was just very talented.
Mentally weak. You're right.
Yeah, he was very, very talented.
His feelings hurt.
But when you watch it, like even from his childhood on, he was just good.
Answer me this.
But here, he didn't have it.
Answer me this. You think it's a cultural thing? The fact that he's from a whole like Australia, not built like
because them Aussies is tough, bro.
Yeah, I don't Patty think it's Mills cultural. And then it's just some, right. some people Mills cannot
yeah.
handle.
Yeah, but Patty Mills wasn't on the level of.
Yeah, he didn't have that pressure. He
but I think it's neither just, was he's just if you watch it, he kind of was coddled. He kind of his mama babied him a little bit. Like if you watch it, you see like his dad was there, but he would like
his dad was a hooper, right?
Yeah, over there.
Oh, his dad didn't raise him.
He did, but he didn't kind of like a Tatum dad. Like he did.
Like he played pro in Australia.
I think Tatum's mom was the monster too, though. Like,
yeah, so it was like, you got to watch it, like, to see, like, oh, he didn't have it.
A lot of people are fragile. You could be good as hell at something, but when it comes to, like, ridicule, a lot of people can't deal with that.
Yeah, can't take that.
It's clear as day that it was, he did not like the backlash, and he literally made a choice to stop trying. Yeah. Like, there's nothing wrong with him.
Hey, man, if I didn't have to try and got paid $100 million, I'm going to go find some other, I'll be playing the flute or something.
He's just waiting to retire, pretty much.
Pretty much, bro, collecting his money.
Just collecting a check.
You know, done.
We'll see what kind of deal he gets again. He'll get something, though.
And it's what's terrible, or funny, whatever word you want to use, is even him playing mid, he's still pretty good.
I mean,
like, he's still,
better than us.
Yeah, he's still getting.
Sure,
he's out there starting.
He can still get, like, 8-8 if he wants. Like just trying a little bit.
He's still their best defender. They were like, look at the way Simmons goes from here
he's
to
still
here.
He has talent.
His defense
he's
is still
just mentally.
He's 6'11". Yeah, people forget he's 6'11".
6'10". Yeah, moves
like
big,
like
strong.
A guard. Yeah,
yeah.
He just didn't have it. Nah, it's mental.
They're mental. Not like
he ain't got
that.
It.
He had a back issue. Yes, sir.
He had surgery.
But that's not what started his mental, though.
It was already gone.
It was gone early.
But to be fair,
he was nice on the Sixers.
But
then
it went
quickly.
He had a back injury.
Did he get Rookie of the Year?
Yeah.
Over
Donovan Mitchell.
The first 3 years in the league was, I'm telling you.
He was nice.
And
he missed one layup.
His first year,
that was it, bro.
No, he had an open layup and passed.
Because he didn't want to hit the free throw line. But his first year, he was injured the whole year, right? Because he won his rookie of the year the second year.
Yeah, right.
I can't remember what kind of injury.
Yeah, like a foot injury, I think.
But him and Embiid had that same kind of thing where they kept going off. Yeah, Blake lost his whole first year
and came back killing.
Yeah.
Chet Holmgren did the
same thing. Blake is underappreciated, bro.
He doesn't get the credit he deserves, especially as a retired athlete.
Because Prime Blake was special, dog. And that's a dude who got better each year. He went and got a new piece of game every year. When he went to the Pistons,
he tried, God
bless his soul.
Yeah. When he was playing, he was very fun to watch, carrying the league. Damn
I
near,
think he don't get
excitement.
He don't get his props because CP3 set up a lot of his points.
I mean, but still.
Yeah, I felt like on the Clippers,
like him and Jordan was
I didn't know he had that bag until he went to the Pistons.
Yeah, then he was like, oh,
it was
Blake
just
Lob
City
yeah,
with the Clippers.
Just blah, blah, blah.
Unfortunately for him, he went to a team with a bunch of blockheads, and he hated them.
Yeah. Oh, the Detroit?
Well, yeah, he didn't hated want to go to
Detroit. Who was in Detroit with him?
Nobody.
Drummond was there? No, they had some cash. Drummond was there. And
who was the guard? Point.
He was the dude who left OKC and got that contract.
Yeah, Schmurder.
No.
Reggie?
Rugly. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Oh, he looked like Bobby Reggie
Jackson.
Reggie Jackson. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. He hated him. Hated him. I remember this one interview. He was like, we was about to get. And then Reggie came up and he was like, man, get the stare he gave him. I said, oh, he wants out immediately.
Blake coming out of college.
I did a commercial with Blake Griffin.
Oh, yeah?
Of course you did.
I think that was my first
commercial.
Yeah, you
do all the commercials.
Name drop. Why don't you?
Me. Hey, who, BG?
We were on time. My God.
Me and BG.
Oh, Griff? That, you know what's funny? Me and Griff was hanging out the other day.
That was Lob City Blake Griffin, though. So it was.
Oh, he didn't know how to act yet back then, though. The State Farm.
He's gotten
He got way better now. He got good after a while.
He'd be doing stand-up, actually.
But them first State Farms, we was like, woo, this is rough. And then he started getting good at it.
To me, Blake is funny.
Yeah.
He is.
He's like he's like more black Will Ferrell.
More black Will Ferrell?
Yeah, like Will Ferrell gives me like, I got a little black somewhere. I don't know. It's just something about his,
I get that.
His swag. But Blake is like a little more black
I
Will
get
Ferrell. Like athletic Will Ferrell.
Wait, so do you guys think Will Ferrell would do a good quote unquote blackface like a Robert Downey?
He would kill.
He's so funny.
I actually want to see it. He would kill.
It would be hilarious if you think about it. I think Will Ferrell,
Robert Downey Jr. was so fucking funny.
Bro. Did you see recently they started releasing clips of the behind the scenes? Bro, he was just in character.
Those scenes I saw, Robert on Top of Thunder? Yes. Those scenes I saw might be better than when I saw in the movie.
I gotta see it now.
You saw the one. It was like. Some dude was like
in the bathtub,
weird.
Drawn on the back. Yeah,
I'm happy you said it first. And he's like, he's talking to somebody else. And he's like drawing out the plans on this dude's back, and then he like pulls a gun and puts it to his head. It's hilarious.
Yeah,
but he's
it.
Like in character the whole time.
Nah, I think Will Ferrell would do a good black.
What you mean, you people?
Yeah,
Will Ferrell is, bro. He's so funny.
Without being offensive, though.
He's one of those people we'd be like, let's watch it first.
Yeah.
There's some people be like, this is outrageous. I'm like, hold on. Let's just see what he does because it's Will Ferrell.
Bro, he played a slave master in Eastbound and Down.
Did he?
Yeah.
Sure, it was hilarious.
And it was hilarious, bro.
Dude, he did a movie on Netflix with Pedro from
Napoleon Dynamite.
Dynamite.
Yeah. Okay.
The whole movie is in Spanish and subtitles.
Oh, Casa de mi Papa. Oh,
Casa de mi Padre.
Bro, I gotta see that.
It is stupid. It's hilarious. Will Ferrell can do anything.
It went under the radar, bro, but I was like, it's so goofy, bro.
It's funny.
Yeah. Okay.
It's so funny.
That's one of the things you go like, yeah, man.
He's one of my favorite comedic actors, too.
Him, Jim Carrey, and what's his name? They're so funny. Robert Downey Jr. They're hilarious, bro.
I know.
Tom Cruise, too.
SNL.
Tom Cruise and Tropic Thunder.
Killed
it.
Amazing.
Bro.
Yeah. That was a good. Yeah.
He killed
it. Mm-hmm. I was like, they should do a whole movie off of this.
Yeah. That character. Was it Lex Grossman or whatever?
Lex Grossman.
Bro,
I like Matthew McConaughey's character, too. The sleazeball agent.
Oh, I'm in there.
He was in there.
Barely saw him here and there. Oh, he was calling. Ben was calling all kind of favorites.
Yeah.
Tropic Thunder. Even my daughter's 15, bro. I showed her Tropic Thunder probably 3 months ago. She laughed.
Why doesn't it get the credit it deserves?
It was funny, man.
It does.
I don't think people want it to because you couldn't do that today. That Robert Downey Jr. movie deserves more credit.
And Jack Black was underappreciated. He never gets talked about, but he's killed.
When he sneezed at heroin.
That's what I'm saying.
That's how funny that movie was.
The ensemble was
so fucking right. That Jack Black gets forgotten.
He gets forgotten.
And he was killing him.
When he was hanging off the helicopter waiting for them to...
Wait, let's hold on. Let's give Brandon T. Jackson his credit.
You did great.
It was funny.
His timing, I feel like the timing on the delivery of his lines was on.
What do you mean, you people?
Exactly. Yeah. His reactions, mm-hmm. bro, his timing was on point. Yeah. Even when Robert when he tried to punch him and he grabbed him and he's holding him tight. And he's like,
do this to us.
The fuck?
Sleeper Nick Nolte.
I mean, bad performances, bro.
That's what I'm saying.
That movie deserves more credit, bro.
Yeah,
I feel like it gets respect, though.
I don't think so. No one ever be like, funniest movie, Tropic Thunder. Like, someone was to be like, man, one of the funniest movies ever, Tropic Thunder. I'd be like, I get it.
For sure.
But you never hear no one say that.
No, I guess not.
A surprising one for me where I've heard people like say they didn't like it was Step Brothers. And that shocks me.
I've never heard anyone say they didn't like it. The crazy thing is,
this was a white guy. This really threw me off. I swear.
He's got family issues. It took him back to a different time.
Right. We were filming him in Albuquerque. It was one of the camera operators.
On the set?
He was like, yeah, I just really like Step Brothers.
What?
What?
You're white.
Yeah.
It's crazy. You're white. Black as fuck. And I thought that shit was hilarious. Yeah. Bro, I'm talking about.
I got Step Brothers classic.
In tears.
Of course.
Yeah, classic.
Super funny. Mm-hmm.
Super bad Step Brothers.
Daddy's Home was underappreciated.
Nigga, that movie.
Daddy's Home, which one is so that?
Funny. That's him and what's his name?
It's Mark Wahlberg and
Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell, but who's the dad? Mel Gibson?
And
yes.
And what's his name? The bad guy. He always played the bad guy. John Lithgow.
John Lithgow.
When his bike, when he got on that motorcycle.
Man, through the shit. Bro.
I was like, I almost threw up.
Did not see this coming.
Stop laughing, bro. I was dying. And then when they kept having him, Mark Wahlberg, be good at everything, and he sung like that, and he clearly wasn't his voice, but he was singing. Oh, I was dying.
Goofball stuff. This is an interesting. A different question. So, how we're talking about like Step Brothers could be your favorite movie? How come I don't ever see like a white person saying like
a black movie.
I
was just
favorite.
About to start naming some black ones because I started feeling weird. But
yeah, that's what I'm saying. You never hear like a white person be like, "Man, Friday." Is that a cultural thing?
I had to introduce white people to Friday.
I don't think they watch our stuff like we think they watch our stuff.
But we watch their stuff. Like
we watch everything.
Because you see what happens, dog. It's like but this happens with most races, but it's like.
Funny should just be funny. You know what I mean?
Funny should just be funny.
You gotta be introduced to it, though.
Yeah. Like I literally had people come over to my crib, right? Because I went to a white high school and we watched Friday. We watched a bunch of black movies. Yeah. But they would have had no idea.
Matter of fact, they knew
who Ice Cube was.
There was a.
They know he was in movies.
There was a trend.
But how
going,
do you not know?
Because that's not their world.
It's not marketing.
There
to them.
Are specific black comedic actors that draw
like
white
Kevin
audience.
Hart. They'll go see.
I was just about to say that.
Yeah,
Kevin Hart is somebody where white people know all his shit. And honestly, I think my family, like Wayans Brothers,
for sure,
white people watch that shit.
They love Chris Tucker because
black,
Rush Hour,
exactly.
Yeah,
stuff
exactly.
like that. So they had to be in. Friday was a hood movie, bro. They're not
hood
chicken,
class.
Hood
that
classics.
Was a word of mouth, like, got yeah. bigger after.
But there was a trend on TikTok or IG, I can't remember, where it was white girls showing their moms Friday for the first time.
Oh, I didn't know. Oh, really?
And these women were fucking dying.
Oh, sure.
Dying. Like, I love this movie. They just don't know.
It hasn't been introduced to them.
That's why I hate. I seen Bud Crawford's interview, and he was once, you know, talking about, you know, we're the only ones that A, B, and C, you know, black people always doing this. And I was like, no. You're not in other people's worlds like that. Everybody right. does the same shit. We're just all in our own little worlds.
In our
bubbles.
It's like your Instagram works. Whatever Facebook Bud could
say about black people, we only, there's a Mexican boxer saying, oh, we're the only ones that. And then the Filipino boxer, we're the only, everybody does the same shit. Mm. It's just, we're all in our bubbles so much. Even if you look at your timelines, your feeds, what is your timeline? Black shit.
Blacks for the most part.
So, and what do you think their timeline is?
Even when they promo to me to Netflix, it's black.
Yeah, say women, but
yeah, I mean, yeah, but
women sports in my timeline.
That like they and their timelines is all their shit. Mm-hmm. Like it's just what it is. So it's not that they don't. Once they're introduced to our stuff, yeah, they love it. That's why. Yeah.
But that was me with music. Like,
yeah.
There was so many bands they had. I didn't know what a Green Day was. I've learned so many white bands.
You disrespectful bastard.
But I didn't know. I know Green Day. I know a Smashing Pumpkin.
You're right.
Nine Inch Nails. I know all these Incubus. I know all these bands now because of my friends.
Yeah. Rock Band put me on.
I could have never.
I think it depends where you're from. Because in the Bay, we were hearing about all that. I didn't know about it.
I got introduced to it by my white teammates.
I knew about
But
Green
that
Day
wasn't and... my world. Like, so.
I had no idea.
It was like, yeah, you know the names and stuff, but I don't know the songs. And then I would hear songs like, I kind of like this one.
Yeah.
And they were just, and like, I would do CD exchanges. With like my coworkers when I worked at In-N-Out.
Slipknot.
So I would give them like hip hop or and they would give me like a country one. But that's how I found out who Kenny Chesney was. I didn't know who the fuck that was.
Okay, I can only name you a few country
artists.
Yes, that's true. If you're not
started,
in that world,
yeah.
you're just not in that
and
world.
And so we started exchanging and I was like, oh.
Honestly,
like, cool.
if I didn't have a family that I grew up watching in movies and then me ultimately getting in the industry, I probably wouldn't watch everything.
For sure.
Like I do. Yeah. I watch everything, but that's my field.
Yeah.
Right.
If I was just a regular black guy, I probably wouldn't watch all those, you know.
Yeah. I think what black people watch a lot.
We don't naturally relate to what they talking about and like
We don't get it. We don't live there.
Yeah.
That's how I felt watching a lot of white shit. I don't get it.
Sitcoms I felt like transitioned. sitcoms was a thing. There was only a few channels growing all the way up until this last era. But I'm like, there's white people who know Good Times. There's white people who know The Jeffersons. There's white people who know that. And we know all their shows. All the way back to like the I Love Lucy's and the Taxis and
Married with Children.
You can go back to Mary Tyler Moore shows. Like, these are shows that there were only a few. It was
you had to watch
it. Had to watch it. It was the only thing that was on.
Yeah.
When TV started expanding, everybody was like, "Oh, I don't have to do this. I don't have to do this anymore. I can just stay in my bubble."
Funny is funny. Yeah, like, absolutely. Me, funny is funny. Like, if it makes me laugh, I will watch it.
King of Queens is one of my favorite sitcoms of all time.
King of Queens.
Kevin James.
Yeah.
One of my favorites of all time.
King of Queens, Married with Children, bro. It's perfection, dog.
Yeah, Married with Children was a show that kind of, I think, transcended
which is supposed to be a black show.
Black writers, right?
Mm-hmm. The black creator.
Yeah, black creator.
It's supposed to be called Not the Cosbys.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Who do you have cast for Al Bundy?
I don't think he had anybody in mind at that time.
So why did it go white?
Look at it. It did incredible. It did incredible.
It was supposed to be.
It was supposed to be black. And then, but it'd have been tough to sell that as a black show.
That's what I'm thinking.
Why?
I think it worked as a white show, seeing poor white people.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Like, Roseanne was in that same vein.
Yeah.
Roseanne just wasn't a mockery of it, but they were poor,
and
this
right?
is the t- and this is the term that I think white people get more offended by than it's poor white trash. That's what rich people call poor white people.
You Mountain Dew drinking
poor white trash.
My dad was the worst, bro. my dad made me great man, but bro, I swear he made me feel like any black people born like in the 50s racist. For sure. That's how he made me feel. It was just like, some of the shit he would say. And
they
he was not, right? Yeah. I'm like, you lived through some shit.
Uh-huh, yeah. They saw different things. Yeah, my dad was the same way. They've seen different things. They just naturally be like.
My dad was not
I remember, like, yeah. you were like 11, 12 during civil rights.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I get it.
Come here, little nigga boy. I need you to go down the street.
My dad, because they were integrating schools when my dad was coming up.
Yeah, that was a different time.
He was like, man, we had to go to school with them rich white kids, man. Fucking, so he got stories. That's why people killed me. Was like, that was a long time ago. It's our parents, nigga. And a little bit of us. Like, it's not crazy.
That's going to rub off on you a little bit if your parents.
And if you see shit.
It did rub off on me.
No, because I had to tell my dad sometimes, hey, relax. It's okay.
I don't have a... Bro,
Puckett Woods.
Yeah, just relax, bro.
Oh my god, that was my dad's go-to. Yeah. Like, that's what I'm saying, the derogatory terms that he used. Bro, one time I heard him.
Puckett Woods is funny.
One time I heard him on the phone with customer service. He was calling about a bill. It was for Verizon, and it was an Indian person answered the phone.
Oh god,
I promise you, it's the most racist you ever heard from the other room. So I come in the room just to listen to the conversation, and he's just like, I can't understand what you're saying. Can you transfer me to somebody else? They transfer to another Indian person. And my dad's like, what are they, just outsourcing all the jobs to India? Like, well, how come everybody I speak to, I'm like, I'm like, dad, mute the phone. I'm like, you're asking them for help right now.
Yeah.
Like, you sound, I would hang up on you. He's just like, nah, because, and that's how my dad was. Yeah, like, man. Bro, it's like, you don't even know you're being racist.
It is frustrating.
You what did I say? That.
It is frustrating.
DC's like,
it is frustrating.
What, not being able to understand someone's dialect?
No, when you're trying to get help for something and you can't understand what's going on, it's frustrating. Because I ask to be, when I'm doing it, I do actually get transferred. I'm like, hey, can I get someone? Because sometimes it's not.
I need somebody speaking American, damn it.
Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's not the dialect that which it's like a understanding barrier.
True. But also, you know what I mean? A thick accent is tough.
It is tough.
There's a way that you can, like, request that, though, is what I'm saying. Say you are having a hard time understanding them, you could go about it a different way. The way he was talking, I was sitting there like, oh, this is my dad. This is so embarrassing.
You know what's tough? What's tough is dealing with somebody who speaks fluent English but has a strong accent still. Uh-huh. So they're still speaking fast because they know the language, but the accent is strong.
Right.
It's different when they're like, okay,
slow it down for
me. But when they're like, okay, da-da-da-da-da, you're like, I know you're speaking English. Wow. I know you're speaking English.
That was racist.
I know you're speaking English. But it all sounds like that. Wow. It all sounds that, like that. Wow. You could be saying, wow. You could be saying,
like Bollywood.
You could be saying, go get your credit card, go blah, blah, blah. But when you go, I wow. do not know what you're saying, dog.
Did you just double that down was, on it?
It all sounds like the da 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 da.
I take back everything I said about my dad.
You know what I'm saying?
You're way worse.
And I'm trying. I'm like, I'm trying. Jesus. So I go like, can you slow? But it's the same with people doing it in Spanish when they're fluent and the accent is strong.
Yeah.
It all sounds
it's fast.
Like,
yeah, it does.
And you're like, I know that you know this language. I know that you do. I don't know what you're saying.
Remember, what's that movie?
I'm trying.
We're going like, to get canceled.
He was like, we've said worse.
Slow down.
Oh, Billy Madison. Billy Madison.
Is that an Adam Sandler movie?
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. Sometimes, so even they have to understand that you need them to talk slower.
Yeah.
And you're not trying to be offensive. You're just like, hey,
I don't know what you're saying. I don't know what you're saying.
That's the key.
If you don't understand them, you need them to slow down. Bro, the way that you ask that of them cannot be rude.
But Greg, you didn't come in the beginning of the convo. You don't know how many times your dad might have asked, like, hey, listen, can you, by the time he has to be transferred and he still can't attend,
he might have snapped. You might have caught the end of it.
Like, where the hell's an American? Shit. Dude, I'm fucking trying not to say shit.
I'm just really good at keeping my composure. It's just not going to go there with me. I don't think my dad has worked enough in customer service. I think that's what it
probably.
Is. I think if you spend enough time working as customer service, it's one that's of true. Those treat me how you want to be treated. Because
very
bro,
true.
That's the same. If you're a waiter, you be tipping people.
Exactly.
Oh,
or anything. I never send food back ever.
I think people need to.
I'm a server and I send food back.
Yeah. It has to be egregious.
No, if I ask you not to do something, and you still do it,
some people, your life is on the line.
No, right. Okay, I can't eat avocado. If there's avocado, I'll send it back. But if it's something else like this,
like a Band-Aid.
A mistake.
Hair. So you taking a hair G?
No, I'm not taking hair. That's what I'm saying. It has to be egregious. But some people send shit back for just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, you know, this is,
I don't even eat with people. I don't even eat with people like that.
Hot.
Yeah,
this isn't hot. Can you?
Oh,
what?
I don't like. It's embarrassing. Yeah,
I don't eat with people who send shit back, who are rude to a server.
I don't like when that becomes the conversation at the table and it's loud. It's like, y'all embarrassing me.
Right. Yeah, I don't like that.
I can't stand it.
And I don't like people taking stuff out on, like, all right, so you go to customer service or a waiter.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm frustrated with the situation, the first thing I think is, I know it's not you.
Right.
You're not the boss, you're not the CEO, you're not the whatever.
Exactly.
When I'm getting, I'll be like, especially if I can tell they black over the phone, I'll be like, could you send me to the person whose fault this is so I can go at them? Because I know you didn't.
I don't like when a customer service person comes with an attitude.
If
I'm like, hey, I'm trying to get this, all right, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Hey, bitch, I'm the one with the problem. Yeah. Yeah. You're getting paid to listen to my shit.
Sometimes
you're
with them.
You're right.
Yeah.
That's sometimes it is. And if they don't have empathy towards what you're feeling,
that's a different conversation.
Hey, you gotta have.
And
empathy.
I get if you're having a bad day, but it's not my fault. You don't know how to tell jokes, bitch. Hey, now help me.
I don't want no deep sighs.
If I can barely understand you, don't get an attitude.
But what you just said, that's another thing with customer service, though. Sometimes you do just want to. You know they can't help you, and you want to talk to the supervisor. If you worked in that field before, you know they're trained to not put you on the phone with the supervisor. They got a whole script. They have to go through the script.
To not
get a supervisor right over their shoulder, making sure. So if you never worked there, you don't know that. So of course you're sitting there getting frustrated, but it's like, bro, they're literally doing the supervisor right there.
Yeah. Right there.
Be like, stick to the script.
I think that's what happens a lot of times. We deal with the outsourced places.
Mm-hmm.
They're reading word for word verbatim.
For sure. Mm-hmm. And that's frustrating.
And that's frustrating.
It is.
You be like, you can't finish this script when I'm telling you.
And it's in fucking Punjabi. Yeah. So they're trying
I just feel like it's just never that deep, man. Just be nice. Somebody gotta really go there to get bro, I'm telling you, if I get ignorant, you really went there with me.
I'm just joking to
treat
the
me
Indian
how
community.
You want how you would want to be treated.
I'm a big fan of the Indian.
That's how you know you're a comedian, because it's like, I'm gonna go for this thing. It's hitting. I gotta keep going. I gotta keep going.
I'm
I gotta
so
keep
sorry.
Doing it.
I mean none of this.
It's gonna crush again.
I am so sorry.
When do we know when to stop?
Joking.
Like
when
as comedians, like
when
you're
here.
How do you know?
We're trying to move on.
Because you'd be like, I'm sometimes on stage and I'd be like, I know, but. It's killing right
I'm
now.
I'm also a believer of milk it. You gotta admit. See, I gotta see how much I can get out of this.
Yeah.
Like I see it. And then once I get you to the then I go, okay, all right, we're done.
I went a little too far.
You said what?
I need to get back on stage. I did stand up 1 week DC. No,
1 week,
1 weekend.
Okay,
the whole weekend. My uncle made me get up. No, Ontario.
Ontario. Yeah, mm-hmm.
I went to just go chill. Was in the green room. Marlon made me.
He sure
get
did.
On stage. Mm-hmm. Three times.
Yeah. What do you tell you? Like a bitch.
Get on stage.
No, oh, okay. Bro. He was just like peer pressuring the fuck out of me. But he was making
peer
it seem like
your uncle's crazy.
He was trying to make it seem like I was scared to get up. That's the only reason I got up. Because I'm like, bro, I'm not scared. Mm-hmm. I did not practice.
Yeah, I don't have anything.
I have some jokes that I wrote down on my notepad. They have not been. I haven't worked them out.
That's good enough.
Nah, bro.
Let's go see what they do.
These people paid money. Number one, to see Marlon Wayans. They don't know which Wayans this is. And to see DC and no, whoever
just,
else
it's
is
just
there.
Marlon.
but yo, I want to get back on stage.
People are
stand up is fun.
People are a fan of the Wayans. Right,
people are the fan of funny, bro.
But also, I tour with Shantae, right?
Yes.
Some people are also just there because it's like we saw the Wayans, and we wanted to come on support.
No, for sure. Yes, that will draw people in.
So when you come on stage,
name has name value.
So when you come on stage, looking like all of them, right? You look like every single one. Right?
She looks like
I look like all of them.
Yeah. You look like
if they were to draw Wayans, they would like G stand right here.
If there was a Wayans video game, you would be the first one.
For real.
And then they'd have to change it.
You're the default Wayans.
Yeah,
if there was a Wayans bitmoji, bro, change my facial hair. I'm Sean.
They would just like
make me bald. I'm Damon.
Yeah, exactly.
They'd be like, oh, Shantae, lighten the skin, throw titties. Like,
exactly.
You just be
so now when you come on stage, they're going to like, we know it's a Wayans.
That's
true. We just want
to know. I'm just a professional. I feel like it needs to be worked out.
You're right. There's a built-in cop-out also, though. There's a built-in, like, hey, I'm working on some things.
And I told G, what I tell you before you go up? I said, just, I got your back. No matter what you do, I told you.
I went to grab the mic. I went to like dab him up or something, and like it wasn't smooth. So right off the rip, we started off bad.
No,
like, you messed up the dab. No.
He said, "Fuck you, DC."
But that was fun. I did good.
You did good.
It was just
wasn't bad.
The third, there was a Sunday.
He did every
an
show
extra
with us.
Show,
oh, okay.
And I,
so once you
was,
do every
I
show,
bombed.
Every show's not equally
right.
as
yeah.
easy.
Right.
Yeah, I'll never do a Sunday extra show
yeah,
ever again
that.
In my life. That
he did like the daytime show with us.
Oh, yeah, what time did you do that one?
We did one at 6.
What
time
was
it? Early show, but it was early. But even for G, who's not like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He hasn't been up.
Yeah.
That's a tough show to do. He was getting thrown in the fire.
I enjoyed it. I got to be honest.
I understand why Marlon did it, though.
Yeah.
Because Craig been scared. Craig said for that he's scared.
Yeah. No, so I understand.
G
why
went up there
did.
Though.
Yeah, that's
I
what I'm saying.
I got laughs too. Like the
G
first 2 days were Friday
and
Saturday.
And Ontario's big.
Were
that's a big club.
Yes.
Yeah. My only critique of G is after he got off stage, he went and sat in the crowd. And I just
thought, nah, you're one of us now.
Well,
you're one of us.
There was something. No.
I was like, you're one of us now.
Yeah. Did you have a girl with you or something?
We can't talk about it.
Yeah.
But,
okay.
Yeah, no.
So I'm back on stage looking at G.
No,
that's close. You can see him sitting in the back and hide.
No, who I was sitting with. Okay, so there was a lady in the crowd, and she was doing the most. And once she realized I was sitting there, then she started like talking to my group during the show. Mm-hmm. So DC is hearing the commotion. She's like, "Gee, that's you."
Yeah.
No, it's this lady.
Yeah,
it
you're supposed
it's
to sit. You're supposed to sit in the back when the doors is hitting you. Yeah. You know, like,
bro,
you're supposed to be hyped.
I was in the green room the whole time, but like it was two of my friends had come to see the show, and I just went to sit with them.
Go sit with his friend.
Yeah, I don't know the etiquette. No. I won't do it again.
You're above them now.
When he said in the mic, "Gee, that's you," I was like, "I'm never doing this again." You can say my name.
But wait, I'm so proud how many of
times
G did for his very first
time?
Great.
So I did 3 times. I did 5 minutes each.
But
time.
I know, I mean, like, because you used to do stand up, right?
No, I did remember Marty's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, I did open mic at Marty's one time, and then there was a couple other spots like the Haha. I did open mic there, and this is before that Ontario. That's it. I did open mic 3 times, and that was like 2018, and then that was 2021.
Ontario,
when we did Ontario.
Yeah, G was solid.
So it's not like I was. That's
like
why I didn't
want
to go up, because I'm like, bro, I just want to know like how I want to deliver, which delivery hits the best. Like that's all. I'm just a
You know what it was? Marlon like forced him to. Like, really you come did. On, you gotta just come in. And I'm like, you gotta let someone do it at their own pace.
No.
No. Yeah. Throw him in the fire.
Marlon's right.
Nah.
Marlon also understands.
Also, if you can see it, you're funny.
If he drowns and almost dies, he's never getting back up.
But he'll be fine in life.
But we want him to continue to do it. We want you to swim again.
If you get on there and you bomb, what do you learn? This is the worst thing that's happened. It's not that bad. This is the worst thing that happened.
I think the best thing that happened for me getting up there is me feeling how much I love being on that stage. Right. Well, I actually love that feeling. Let's be real. More
everyone doesn't make it back from a bomb.
You're right.
We know some people who did. We know some Ben Simmons
but,
out there.
But now you know.
Yeah, well, that's they got they have quitter in them.
Yeah. But now you know. Shit ain't
Get out of here.
Yeah, but if
we're oversaturated anyway. I'm trying to sell tickets, nigga. You niggas. Right. You niggas keep popping up on the internet getting famous. I'm trying to sell. I'm actually funny. Get the fuck out of here.
Touche. But there are certain things I don't like about, like, at Ontario Improv. I don't like the idea of, like, y'all serving food and drinks, like, while we...
That sucks.
Because right at the stage, putting this huge platter of shit down and all
but
these
then,
dishes.
But then you do that early, and you realize that's the worst of it. And when you can power through that and maneuver that and make jokes about that. And then the bill comes.
That's where the business in
comes.
Yeah,
and then you start learning how to, like, if you're headlining and they drop the checks, you got your, all right, this is when I do this, this is when I do that, because they're going to be,
mad.
And I know at the beginning when I get up there, the servers are doing stuff. Yeah. Sometimes I talk to the servers, sometimes I don't.
Some servers loud as shit.
It's something to get.
Which is always weird.
Did you want some mozzarella sticks?
Yeah, it's like, you work here. Why are you so loud? You know how this works. Why are you so loud?
You want the clams?
What?
Yeah. It was just distracting, and that was my first time. But
that was good. You learn how to do that.
Yeah,
you
it was
know.
Fun, man.
I believe in getting up there and taking that sweet, sweet L to the chin, bro.
What do you mean?
Just get up there and I tell people all the time, like, if you're anything else is overthinking it, because it's a simple thing that takes a lot of work, right? You get up there, you say what you think it might be funny, and especially where you are in the parameters. I play like, people who don't want to get up do open mics. I go like, dog, it's the easiest thing. People are like, I gotta get this laugh, and it's like the hardest part of doing stand-up is the first time you do it. The second hardest part is making money off of it, right?
Yeah,
I go like, the rest of it really isn't that hard. Everything is practice. Everything else is just practice.
Yeah, reps.
You're just doing reps. It's like anything. And it's like, if you're trying to go up there and kill and you don't kill every time, then sure, you're going to be disappointed. That's not the goal.
Yeah, and if you're trying to be perfect, that's never...
I know a lot about comedy. Well, a lot about the state it's in now. A lot of people don't be getting laughs.
Yeah.
No, hell no, they don't.
And still, like...
They still do it.
Yeah, still do it. Like, it becomes like... I think a lot of the audiences are cool with, like, not laughing all
just
the time.
Just talking. Some just listen. Because a lot of comedians is literally just up there telling stories. But another thing I realized about open mics, and for anybody who doesn't do stand up, who is scared to try it or whatever, you have to remember at an open mic, that's not an audience. Right. Those are comedians waiting for their turn to work their material. So if they do laugh, you were funny.
That's going to murder in a comedy club.
Right, because they don't give a fuck what you're doing. They're just waiting for you to get off so they can get up. So that's what I had to, that's what I noticed. That's not what I had to realize.
I feel like the mics are for you, bro. A show is for them. But a mic, I'm like, and pretty much Marlon throwing you up, he's just like, nigga, go practice with a crowd. That's amazing. You get to practice with the crowd.
It's a great opportunity.
That's how it is in the Bay, baby.
Yeah, no, when I started stand up in Lansing, there were the clubs, they did the open mics before the show, right? Mm-hmm. So you had an entire audience.
Yeah.
So when I came to LA, I said, what the fuck is happening?
Right.
They blew my mind that there was no audience. Yeah. And then even these shows, they got a comedy store or ha-ha doing a mic and there's nobody in there. It's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy to me.
Yeah, it makes it be like, wait, how am I gonna get into this place?
Right. I'm glad I didn't start in LA.
Yeah. It's nuts.
I remember
when
they came up there, Keenan was like, wait a minute, hold on, time out.
And a goddamn
y'all got
laundromat
in
with
this
people.
Laundromat? So wait, this bar, this coffee shop is packed?
Like, yeah, people. Bro. Crazy.
And with the open mics at bigger places like that, like, bro, they'll do like one a month.
Yeah, and then you go, oh, you gotta do like 2 minutes. I was like, y'all wild. Yeah.
Because I tried to find, because I used to live out in the IE, like in Rancho Cucamonga. Oh, good luck out there. I was looking for open mics, and it's like, Ontario Improv is like, they do one Thursday a month or some shit. I'm like, what the
fuck? Yeah.
And then
yeah.
you got to pass all the workers.
Yeah. I'd probably say the hardest part about stand-up is starting, like getting, getting the reps and all that. Yeah. And,
no, for
and
sure.
And then, you know.
Because I thought that was the start of my journey, and I was about to dive in. But it's also trying to navigate me I'm still trying to break in as an actor. Yeah. And that was my argument with my uncle. It's like, dude, it's, I see how much time you need to give to stand up to be good at it.
Yeah. But they feed each other.
They do, but you, every person is different. You have to be able to find that balance. And if you can't, you got to pick one. Yeah. So there's for no... me, I was like, I had to pick acting.
That's how I was. Actually
make, that's another thing. It takes a while to make money in stand-up. Right.
It takes a long while.
So that,
that's how I was with improv. I had to pick, am I going to do improv or stand-up? And I chose stand-up because improv felt like like acting. You know what I mean? Like a
improv
whole
fun, though.
Improv is fun. It's a whole other art.
Like improv class?
Yeah.
They all feed each other, bro. It's like there's
I
no
felt
better
so
acting.
Dumb doing improv.
I did too.
I wrote that in my pilot too, but it's because I didn't know anything about acting, what it takes to be an actor.
You did improv before you did acting?
The first, I went to an acting class. Yeah. It was like a big time acting teacher, but it was a beginning improv class.
Right, that's
so
part of it.
I don't know the difference at that point between an improv class and a scene study class or a master class or a technique class. I'm just like, this is acting? So I just thought
it
was
make it
so
up.
Stupid. I'm like, I'm not coming back to this.
Oh,
shit.
Yeah, turn, make yourself
I didn't
a
realize,
bird.
Yeah, bro. No, literally the exercise was like, it's like he asked like five of us to come to the middle of the room. And he's like, all right, this exercise is called airplane. He's like, you guys can't talk. You can't talk. He's like, I'm going to say things out loud. And I want you guys to like just use your body. Some shit like that. So it's like we crash in the airplane. He's like, all right, you just crashed. He's like, what are you smelling? Like, are you smelling oil. The fuel from the plane? Are you smelling dead bodies? What does that smell like? Is the smoke burning your eye? He's just saying this shit right. And people, so everything he's saying, people are starting to, and I'm just, bro, I just felt so
it
dumb.
It feels dumb.
I did it's too. Like, you come from like being an athlete. I was a football player. I didn't know nothing about this shit. And I'm just like, bro, this is not
also,
for me. Just let me audition.
It's some uncool shit, bro.
It is.
I remember doing it first time. I was like, oh, y'all weird, bro. Y'all some weirdos. Yeah. And then I remember I had to lose it. Best thing I ever did was for my stand-up, though. Uh-huh. The best thing I ever did was do improv at Groundlings. Because I remember...
Yeah. I took Groundlings, too, yeah.
Bro, it was one exercise. They was like, all right, you on the ground, you're a tiger. I was like... Hey nigga, I'm not about to get on the ground.
Why you not? It's
and then I'm watching... I'm watching white people. I was like...
That's what it is. Like, I don't think people understand that.
I say...
Improv, not acting. But improv is very corny.
So
you're like... You're coming from this world of... quote unquote cool shit. Right.
You watching Denzel and shit.
You're like, what the fuck is this? Like the first time I did it was I went to an audition thinking it was something else. Mm-hmm. And then they was like, well, this is an improv. I was like, oh my bad, I do stand up. I'm gonna leave. They was like, well, do some stand up for us.
Yeah.
I did they dying. They was like, you want to be in the improv group? I was like, all right.
Well, yeah, why not?
So I did the group and the shit they was doing, I was just so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And they ain't comfortable, but they do whatever. Mm-hmm. But what I learned was too, like, the freedom to be
freedom.
Stupid.
Mm-hmm.
To be vulnerable, to be all that. And also it taught me how, like, to try to hold, because they was funny.
Right.
Try not to break character during improv is a challenge, though.
Yeah.
Like, and if people kept doing shit to try to surprise you. Like, I remember we were doing one thing, and the guy goes behind the curtain, and we're doing our thing, and he comes back out with a fucking dildo and a tutu, and he keeps spinning in circles. Now, I had to turn my back because I couldn't stop laughing. Yeah, like, and he just kept, he didn't break. Like, he was just sitting there just doing this. Full. And I was like, this is the dumbest shit ever, but
it's
it was funny.
Yeah. No, now I know, though. Like, because it just makes you better because it allows you to be goofy. And another thing, bro, when you start this journey, whether it's acting or stand-up, whatever, you know what the grind is. Right. You know, like real life, like we got bills and shit.
Yeah.
So it's like that natural shit's fun leaves you. Don't nothing be fun no more. Nigga, it's like, this is not fun. Yeah. So improv, like,
there's an hour and a half of crawling on the ground.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, shit don't be funny. Shit.
And my uncle Damon told me, too, at first, when I first started acting, he's like, you trying to be too cool.
Yeah.
He's like, you got to be funny and charming. He's like, cool ain't going to get you nowhere. But, you know, I grew up idolizing like one of my cousins. Yeah. He was Mr. Cool.
Yeah.
You know, I was trying to be gangster and shit. So when I first started acting, I had the head lean to the left. I saw myself on camera. I'm like, bro, you look so stupid. Yeah. Literally, I used to always hold my head like this. And it's like, bro, there were so much things I had to fix. like and not be G and like learn how to like be an actor. It was crazy.
Learn how to be what's on that page.
Learn how to be whatever's on the page. Whether it's a dork, whether it's cool, whether it's be that and not you. And that that is very hard. When you don't want to be like, hey, these niggas are like Chess, these niggas are weird, bro. Yeah. And it's like you don't want to be weird, but it's like
nigga, and it just turned into a wolf then, in the corner to book something.
Weird. Yeah. There's a vast difference, which we know, between black weird and white weird. Right. White weird is a different level of weird. Like these improv grooves and all this shit is so there's no limit. And it's so white heavy, you be like, I'm not finna do this shit. And they don't, like you said, they on the ground.
Act like a thumbs in your butt. Woo!
They don't care.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, you wanna go hang out after?
No.
When I first started doing commercials, that's what like turned me off a little bit when I first started auditioning for commercials, because a lot of times like group auditions, they'll like pair you with somebody.
Yeah.
And it's like, bro, before we go in there, it's like, this is like an improv class. It's like, they're just like turned on. It's like, bro, we regular right now. They're not rolling.
Yeah,
like,
I don't know how to. I don't know how to do that.
Are you talking about hanging out with them after?
No, like when you're waiting in the lobby after you sign in, and you know you got your little sides or the breakdown, and you're waiting for them to call you in. They didn't assign groups. It's just like it's like a class. Yeah. Like just the conversations. I'm just like, are we regular people here? Yeah. Like when we get in there, let's do this shit. So, but you just realize like that's part of when you go to class. It's like using you turn on your instrument as soon as you get there.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's like you can't, that cool shit is
that's
not
a very
cool.
hard part for me, because I don't turn on work until it's time for me to work.
Me too.
Like off, I'm like,
I forgot about auditioning and it's a group.
Oh, because really, you only go only for commercials. Do they still do like in person?
Do they still do that? Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, I'm good now, but when I first started, I'm telling you, just brought me back to the improv class. I'm like, y'all look so stupid. We are adults.
Let's go to this corner, guys.
Yeah, they be doing. It's like you be like,
oh, what's up, Tony Baker? Tony Baker's in the house.
And then, TV, what's up, and then the anxiousness of it all, because like me being a stand up, I'm going to audition. Like, if I get this, fantastic. But if I don't, I'm about to hit the road. Like, I don't need this money. Like, I don't need. They be needing it. So not only are they already weird, and they need the money. So there's an energy in there that I'm not used to.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, ugh. Like,
I've never auditioned for a commercial.
It's weird.
I've
never.
I tell everybody to audition for a commercial.
I need to get back.
Where do you find them? I never even tried.
Casting Networks is the website.
But I'll be on there.
You can submit yourself now, right?
Yeah,
you
probably. That's what I was doing. Bro, at first, no agency would sign me because I had no resume, no reel, no nothing. Uh-huh. So I had to submit myself. That's how I found my first like agents.
Yeah. Okay.
I signed up for Casting Networks, created a profile, all that. And then I put like that I was seeking this representation, and I posted a couple pictures, and then I started getting emails. I got headshots.
Yeah, sunglasses on and shit.
But you should do commercials, because it's not like movies and TV where it's like they're looking for something specific. In commercials, they want all types of people. Yeah. They want all sorts of looks. Mm. You know, when you see a commercial like, these aren't actors, real people bullshit. Yeah. They are actors, but they want every single type of person.
Once you look the regular looking people.
Yeah, you don't gotta be like the handsome, perfect teeth, look great. No, bro, the dude with the crazy hair.
You do see that. You be like,
yeah, that's what they want.
This guy.
Yeah, normally more crazy looking books the commercial.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, they call it quirky.
Yeah,
quirky.
There was one dude who had the same little purple hoodie. I was like, this dude's booked 12 commercials in the same hoodie. Bro, he was so regular.
I like that shit.
Yeah, man.
The only thing I hate about commercials is I'm always the nigga that's on a veil, but I never get it.
It's terrible.
Terrible. Every audition I do, they're like, we like this guy, bring him back.
Yeah,
they bring me back, and then I get the call like, oh, it's out of you and somebody, and it's never me.
it's never terrible, me. Bro.
I'm like, I'd rather just cut me early. Don't
can you ever
me to
ask
the final.
Him, can you ever ask him torture. What's the deciding factor, or like what?
No.
Sometimes I know. Sometimes my last one I did, it was the ESPN one. And I was like, oh, I got it.
Yeah.
And the dude I went in with fucking killed.
Yeah.
And I was like, he's going to get this shit. He was great. Like, he was great. Yeah. I was like, good for you. But now I'm in a different place where I'm getting closer to. So that audition, I didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on a ship minding my business. I get an email from my agent like, yo, that casting director wants you back for another thing. And I'm like, I'm starting to
you're
get
in
the
circle. Yeah,
yeah, now, oh, we just like him.
Yeah.
Let's see what else we can do
for
him. And I'm like, oh, all right, cool.
That's how it works. Because when you get put on a veil, it's like, all right, you do the first audition. Mm-hmm. Then you get a call back. And that's like with the director and like the clients, whatever it's AT&T or whoever the client is.
Yeah.
And then when they put you on a veil, it's like, all right, it's between you and maybe one or two other people.
Yeah.
Now they're going to check your schedule to make sure you're available for all the dates. The fitting,
yes,
you'd
be like, yes,
the,
yes.
The fitting. But sometimes
the least problem,
huh? It be working actors and they don't be available. So it's like, all right, we like both of them, but he's not available for this date, so we're gonna go with him.
Right.
If it's like, nope, they both available, then now they have to choose.
Now they have to
like have that final
flipping
discussion.
A coin like back, yeah, there.
Your livelihood on a
exactly.
Tails never fails.
You got no food at the house, barely made it to the audition. And they like, well, who are we gonna pick?
Right.
But commercials is where if you book a commercial and like you're good, like, yeah, like I did one for Funny or Die with these brother directors. I forget their name, but they're brothers. And that was the Blake Griffin one.
Yeah.
The next one I did, they emailed me directly, mm-hmm, uh-huh, and just asked me hey, we're doing this commercial. Are you available? Bro, I cried just, yeah, because I'm like, I've been waiting for shit like this,
yeah,
to happen.
Right.
It's like, I don't have to audition, ain't hit my agents, nothing. Like, yeah, am I available? Yeah, yes. I'm available.
Yes.
That shit is dope.
That shit was crazy. That was my first time it happened, yeah, to me. And she was like, they want to know if you can come in. I was like, I don't have to do. They was like, no, they just want you to come, yeah, in. I was like, what the fuck? Like, that never happened.
It makes you bring it even more.
Oh, I was so excited. I mean, I couldn't do it because I was booked, but I was like,
I'm more interested in good creating commercials. Yeah. I look at creating them a director, especially like a good funny commercial.
Yeah.
I was like, that's way more of my interest in being in one. Is I wanna put one together and be like, oh, I wanna do like, I don't know, see if you can make the funniest Crest commercial or something,
yeah,
like
write
that.
Some.
You know what I mean? Yeah, that's what I was like. I've never even looked at that process. I was like, that's what I gotta figure out. What's the process of like?
That's things that people don't think about.
Yeah, I never.
No, that would be smart to do.
I look at commercials, I'm like, hey, we can do that. I'm like, ain't no way we can't make this.
Especially those progressive commercials where they're like, where you turn into your parent.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Those,
yeah,
are
exactly.
Funny.
Funny.
Those are funny as hell to
that
me.
That one, yeah. And, what's the one? Expired. That shit had me dying, bro.
Some commercials be funny.
I've been seeing BT, yeah, pop up on a lot of commercials.
BT is out here, bro.
Kingsley.
BT is killing.
BT is out here.
Howard Alonzo's popping up on
some. Tahir is in a few.
Tahir is popping up on some.
I'm like, whoa. That's
like, that just needs Tahir?
I'm like, that's Tahir again?
Yeah.
Chinadu.
Chinadu's popping up.
Chinadu's got
too.
A Febreze, a truck, a Chevy truck, something like that. And something, I was like,
yeah, look at Chin.
I texted him, I was like, yo, you was in it. He's like, yep.
Getting that money.
Yeah.
And he's the guy on the Febreze ones. Like,
yeah,
that's a campaign. Like, with him,
come
Mr.
On,
Doctor,
yeah,
Doctor, what is it? Doctor Cool? Doctor.
I don't think I've seen it.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, he come in with his hat tilted and everything. No. And he's like,
Chinadu.
He got several of them.
Yeah, he got a couple.
He might be like, if they continue, he could be like the flow of Febreze.
The Febreze.
Like, he's the guy. And I was like,
I wonder
if they
wanted to stop doing stand up, though.
You say
I wonder,
what?
I wonder if that comes with something. Like, do you got
to
stop?
Well, I guess, what's her name? Did used to do stand up, the AT&T girl. Or no, she actually.
Oh, no, Stephanie Courtney. No, you're talking. Or you're not talking about progressive, about? Right?
No, AT&T, right? Didn't she? Wasn't she an actress or stand up?
Yeah, she's still
a white girl.
Yeah, but that's all she do. Well, because
we're not
that's
talking
all she
about
has to do.
The one. She was my teacher for Groundlings.
No, you're talking about.
You're talking about progressive.
I'm talking about Flo.
Flo. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
She that's all she got to do.
Flo is straight. Yeah,
but I, our home, the one to do State Farm. That's all he do now.
Oh, for real?
Well, there's a so. There's a difference between being like a spokesperson and then just being like, you can be the person talking in the commercial, but if you're like Jake from State Farm or Flo from, no, now that's
what you
that's
do.
That's a different deal.
Yeah, and that's not
those are the ones like they can become millionaires off
they,
of commercial,
yeah,
but not everybody who's taught. Like, I remember I did a DirecTV AT&T commercial and I was like the guy talking throughout the whole thing. That was probably my least paying commercial.
Oh,
I've made more money just being on camera,
just
not
showing your
speaking.
Face for 3. Yeah. What's it?
All
3 seconds. You got to show you.
It
used to be like a timing.
I forget for on camera
for national
what it's called, but I forget how much time. But you have to make the final. You have to make the final edit to get
it.
Paid.
Sucks if you get one of those big ass commercials, but
you
just can't
cut.
Do. No, well, that would definitely suck. But but I mean, like if you get like a big Flo campaign, big Flo sounds like a period campaign,
right.
And then you can't, it's like you a can't do your other thing like stand up.
Yeah, if you said you hey dog, here's a milli, I gotta take it.
You got it.
I gotta take it.
Does it suck? I don't think it sucks because you're growing your brand. You have to take a break. Well,
that's up to you.
You have to decide, you know? But it doesn't suck.
Because then when the contract ends, I'm like, here's $5 million. I gotta be like, God damn.
Yeah.
When can
it sounds like a good problem.
Yeah.
It's a great problem.
Yeah. Because I think there's a lot of comedians who you start with stand-up, but a lot of comedians' goal is to eventually like be on the screen
sure.
in some capacity.
Sure.
So
but like
those good problems to have.
It's an art. You know? You want to get your art out, don't you?
Yeah.
I would. Oh,
but like, yeah, like you said, that's a good problem.
Like, yeah,
yeah. Because you know what? I kind of got sad because I was like, I don't never want to stop doing stand up.
You
got
to take that bread.
You got to take the money. I need the money. Yeah, but I mean,
this life changing money. I got to take that. I got
to
take that.
I need the money because then if I had it, when I get back to stand up, I wouldn't care if nobody was buying tickets.
Just be doing it for fun.
I'm good. I just do it for the pure fun of it. Because like he said earlier, ain't shit funny right now. Man.
And when you go back, though, it's going to be easier to sell tickets because now you got even more name and face recognition.
You the guy. You State Farm guy. Man. Yeah,
just buy your goddamn ticket and sit down. They be yelling out your phrase. Same money with Progress. All right. Come on, man. I'm in the middle of a joke. Yeah, I was mid-joke. We were in Denver, and this dude kept yelling out, Big Ready! Like, while I'm doing joke, you get your Big Ready? I was like, my Big man. Ready. I said, I appreciate the support, dog, but like, let me finish. Yeah. The shit, I'm 5 minutes in. Yeah. I literally had to have him come on stage. I said, hey, dog, you need attention. And I don't want to roast the shit at you because you got great energy. Yeah. So I was like, why don't you come on stage and get all this attention?
Did he come? He went up
there? He came on stage, and he was, so everybody was like, boo, because I was killing. Everybody was like, boo.
What'd he do on stage? Nothing?
Nothing. He was just like, yeah, Chaz, your shoes are frozen. I said, I don't know what that means. I said, tell the people what that means. Because someone laughed at it. So tell them what that's supposed to mean.
You had to let them bomb.
Had to let them bomb.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so easy to let them bomb when they get up there.
He was like, all right, y'all want me on. I said, well, tell the joke.
Now it's talking hot.
When he was talking right now, I hear a little bit of Clayton Thomas, a little bit. I heard a little, it's something at the end. I'm yo, like,
that's how me and Clayton, like Clayton that's bit. How we got cool because y'all remember Goldie? Remember Goldie?
Yeah, I remember Goldie.
Goldie was like, you sound just like my friend Clayton Thomas. That's how we met. See? That's exactly how we met.
Oh, that Michigan.
That's what I'm wondering. I wonder if it's because we're from
it must be. I swear, if I close my eyes, I'm like,
I've never heard Clayton? It, but.
I never heard it.
But that was what I heard the first time I met CT.
Yeah, but maybe something in Michigan.
It could be. I was like, well, we run the same age.
Clayton was on. He had a little part on My Crazy Roommate, I think.
On what? On My Crazy Roommate?
Yeah. He's on shows on Mountain Dew.
Yeah, he did a Family Time for a long time.
Yeah.
He was on.
Oh, I did the. I don't want to go back to the Zane show, but Tangerine was on the Zane show with me too.
Oh yeah,
that's where I met her.
Yeah.
She was Eamon's love interest on it.
Yeah, she was.
We saw it.
You saw it.
We saw it.
Bro, you know what's crazy, especially now that I have, like, you know, I got a 15-year-old daughter, is when I was in middle school, girls was reading them books.
The same?
What the fuck?
In middle school?
Hope they got that on their own.
Jeez.
Like, if my daughter was reading them books, I promise you, she'd see a different dad.
Man.
I remember. I'm like, what y'all reading?
How big is the change you saw from, like, when your daughter turned 15? My daughter's 6 right now. So, of course, there's a...
Well, let's do... Oh, we'll tackle that next episode.
Do it. Oh,
right. Yeah. Because we got to get out of here.
Gotcha.
Where you at, Chaz?
I'm places. May 8th through the something. I'm in... I'm in North Carolina.
I will never not do that, like, ever in my whole life.
I'm like, let me get it. No,
Petey Pablo.
Yeah, ever.
He does not look great right now.
That's messed up. I thought he was going to be huge after that song.
He was for a minute. He had a great run. What did I say? Ooh. North Carolina. What the hell are these goddamn dates?
Your link got to be quicker.
I'm on Sean Tays because I don't know. And then DC, May 29th through the 31st. These are all at cwaynes.com, guys. I'm terrible at this. Yep. And Lacroni Chaz, we're going to air at 2 today. And then if you guys are around, we'll be live at Lacroni Chaz at 2 p.m. today. Bam. G, where can the folks find you?
I really don't have anything going on right now, but at Greg Wayans on Instagram. It's pretty much where you can find me the most. Look out for me in Body Language, a movie starring Christina Milian.
Okay.
Don't know when it's dropping, but definitely did that.
You had scenes with her?
I did. I played her fiance.
Okay. She's still super cute.
Honestly, dude, she's so naturally pretty. And
you never seen her in person?
Super cute. Bro, she's so cool too. She got like a, she's super laid back, super cool, super professional. And
Carucci was one that surprised me how cute she was in person.
Christina Milian came to
she's beautiful.
Crack 'em up.
And
she was like, he said, hella cool. She wanted to take pictures of all the comedians. Mm-hmm. Like, she was just like, this is fun. But I saw her like in person. Yeah. I was like, oh, she's like pretty, pretty like, for gorgeous. Real pretty.
Mm-hmm. I can have a whole conversation about that. no, and look out for she was like, Scary Movie 6.
I wasn't feeling it. I think we need to do this again. You know, I just wasn't.
Bro,
I wasn't.
We can talk about that. she was ahead. Great, though.
Go ahead. So where else? Sorry.
Oh, no, I was just saying look out for Scary Movie 6. You know, that's happening.
Turn up. Yeah.
Keonathan?
Amir, is this? Okay. So tomorrow, Friday, I'm at Flappers. Get your ticket. It's not going to be my typical Keon Polian friends. It's just going to be like one person going before me, and then I'm up because I'm running my hour for my special. So come up. You get first pick. If you know, you get to see, you get first peek at the hour and what it's going to be like. So please come to that. And then this Sunday, Chicago, you're dragging your ass, and y'all was the main ones out of every city ever. Y'all was the main one asked me to come, and these ticket sales is. So it give me a one and done. Maybe I come back. I don't know. It depends on y'all. So please get your tickets for that. The Comedy Bar. And then on May 10th, Detroit. Y'all showed up for me last time. Please come out again. I'll be at the Comedy Bar in Detroit. And then May 12th through the 18th, I'll be at the LA Comedy Club in Vegas. But that 16th and 17th is when I'm shooting my 1 hour special. So hey, please come to now. That. It's going to be really, really good. And then, yeah, that's check out Wildly Inappropriate, me, Gary Anderson, Keenan Baca, and all merch and everything on my link tree, all that good stuff. And tell a friend to tell a friend about this stuff and everything.
Really?
Quiet Somebody's story. Working a lot.
Trying, man.
But you got quiet stuff.
May 2nd with the Broski Marlon Wayans, Jacksonville, Florida, Florida Theater. May 3rd, Barber B. Mann Performing Arts Hall. That's Fort Myers. And May 9th, Hackensack Meriden Health Theater at the Count Basie Center in Red Bank, New Jersey.
Wait, get the whole your title is for the Hackensack? Wild Child
Tour. And then Peekskill, New York, Paramount Hudson Valley Theater with the Broski Marlon Wayans.
Y'all just Wild making Child. Up cities.
Bro.
Y'all yeah. just never heard of it.
Wait, everywhere, bro.
Wait, you going where? That's the name. Name these cities again.
Red Bank. Bucky's Club.
Red Bank, New Jersey. That's the Hackensack. Hackensack Meredith Health Theater at Count Basie Center.
You making this up, bro.
I swear.
DC ain't got no days.
I swear.
Marlon fired him a long time.
I swear. Hackensack.
You guys can find me in Sheboygan, Tennessee.
Hackensack.
At the Sock Hop Theater.
Meredith Health Theater at Count Basie Center. That's in New Jersey.
Oh, boy. All
right. Hackensack.
That is great. Marlon's literally finding every single market.
He works
bro.
Every corner.
God, every damn. Corner.
Are we good? We out.
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.